Hello, Danielle. This is Neely Nathan. It's so nice to speak with you.
Hey,
Hi, for the audience, I just want to say Danielle Agami was born in Jerusalem, where she studied at the Jerusalem Academy of Music and Dance. She was a member of the Bat Shiva Dance Company. Then she moved to New York to serve as the senior manager of Gaga USA. In 2012, Agami relocated to Seattle, where she became the founder and choreography for her dance company, 8-9, and now she lives and works in Los Angeles. So my first question, how are you?
I'm excited and nervous and tired.
Excited and nervous. Yes. Thanks for spending some time. I know you're very busy with your upcoming world premiere of A Blind Lady and Calling Glenn at the Wallace Annenberg this weekend. And I'm going to be there, so Friday. I'm very excited. I can't wait. You're an extraordinary dance company. I've been watching some of your videos.
Thank you. We're trying to have fun and host the audience with the same agenda of really having a meaningful meeting between us when they come.
Yes. So actually you came to the United States and you said that you had a calling to share the techniques that you learned of the Gaga language. And in the beginning, I understand that you had some difficulties in communicating with your dancers on what you wanted exactly. So what was the turning point that garnered success with the dancers?
I think that like any new language, it takes a moment for us to first understand, but then also getting rid of the idea of a person needing to already know everything and to agree with the fact that we don't know so much and we want to learn new qualities, new options, new possibilities. And you know, when somebody is facing what he doesn't know, usually there's this gap of time when embarrassment is in between two people or a person and a goal, and I feel like this is okay to admit those weaknesses and then to decide that despite them we want to create something together. So I think that the way I even connect to America and the way I connect with people and dancers is through those moments that we have to realize what's exactly ahead of us or between us and what are we going to face, and then to say, okay, I still stay and I'm still gonna do it and fight for the process of change, not only for the concept of change. So I think that's why I think sometimes take time and another round and another round, and I think it's a relationship, and even if you fall in love, after you fall in love, you have to start working on it and holding it. So it's almost 7 years that my company is going and dating LA, because also dating LA is really is a task for dance, because it's quite unknown yet versus what you know in Europe and Tel Aviv when it comes to the dance being consumed by the audience, and that also is at least 40% of our struggle is to convince people to come and see and watch dance. So I think all of that kind of bundle is keeping me very busy in my head and in my body. Lucky about that too.
Yeah, when I saw the videos, I thought it's so personal and so intimate. It's really, it is a change. It's just change for the dance world. So with the world premiere, you're featuring original live music by Spanish singer, songwriter, Lourdes Hernandez, Russian Red. And then you're doing Calling Glenn with live music by Wilco percussionist Glenn Cache. So my question is, regarding A Blind Lady, I was reading, it reveals Agami at her sharpest and most profound as she brings vision to the insecurities and absurdities of living and working in LA. So I can't help but find that amusing because I've lived in LA for 40 years. By the way, I was born in Israel, but I came here when I was three. And so, yeah, so I wanted to ask you, what are you talking about? You think LA is like absurd and La La Land is absurd? So what I'd like for you to please share an experience or two that you had.
Well, you know, there's this wonderful sense of space in LA. There's wonderful sense of beauty in LA. There is wonderful, you know, constant beautiful light from the sun and the weather, and there's something very spoiling about being here. But then the moment you look inside, or the moment you close the door in your apartment and you sit by the dining table, I think you all of a sudden start feeling that a lot is missing. A lot is missing because you don't get the same human touch, human reaction, human interaction that you experience in places that are actually more crowded, colder, and actually dealing with harder lifestyle or disappointment, like just waiting for a subway that you just missed, or extreme cold that is bringing people to stay home and stay together. So I think LA is giving us this pleasure, but then taking away from us a lot of basic human needs. And I think the dialogue between what you prefer and what you're willing to sacrifice is constant for me since I moved away from Israel to here. And the cultural difference makes me feel sometimes hidden or forgotten, or or screaming very loud, but just in the middle of a desert where nobody hears me. But I also feel like they do hear me very often, because I'm performing and I'm busy and I'm leading and I'm guiding and I'm talking about those issues that a lot of people share and apparently feel similarly. So it's this mix that is not finding balance, and by the fact that is not finding balance, it makes me want to make work about it and think about it with musicians, with dancers. And that's what we're doing here with A Blind Lady. We're trying to touch that sadness and touch the loneliness, but also admit the beauty and the power that the freedom definitely gives us. And we even, I can't tell you too much, but we're even inserting even further typical LA or American elements from the culture of America into the piece. But I really rather not.
It's okay. I understand, and I definitely know what you're talking about. You're absolutely right. So I look forward to seeing that. That's exciting. Another thing that I read about your collaboration with Glenn in Calling Glenn is it captivates the audience with Agami's choreographic blend of brilliant strength, nuanced physicality, and humor that inspires the imagination. So it made me think, I don't think I've seen much of humor in dance performances. And that got me excited because it reminded me that how much I love humor in art. For example, with Picasso's sculptures that are humorous. So I'm wondering, what is your inspiration?
I think this, you know, cynicism and humor is part of me. It's always been part of me and my culture. I think in Israel, we know how to laugh rough and then how to laugh at ourselves and our situation or our past, and otherwise how can we handle the constant rigorous like reality there of conflict. And I think that the humor is holding us again closer together and closer to the ground, or when needed as far as possible from the ground. So I have humor following and coming out of my work constantly, I think. And it's subtle, but if you want to, you can laugh. And that is how I feel like life around me is most of the time. You can laugh. It's just a question if you're going to allow yourself. Huh? If you manage to see the humor. You know,
I love it. I love it. And it's very healing. And it's very authentic. Yeah. It's refreshing. So exciting.
And I can tell you the same about tears. You know, you're also welcome to cry when you want to. In this, because it does the same. It cleans us, and I think we want to be available to cry and to laugh, definitely.
That's wonderful. Yeah. So what was the impetus to collaborate with Glenn Cauce and Lourdes Hernandez? How did that all come about?
Well, a lot of very lucky coincidence. With Glenn, I was introduced to Glenn because Catherine Soros believed that we should meet, and she believed something in our way of work and sound and visual will collide well together, and she was perfectly correct about that. And with Lourdes, apparently she's been following the company and my work here in LA for maybe 4 or 5 years, and she was too shy to come forward and say hello. And then in October, she saw our recent performance, and finally we were introduced. And once I knew of her and understood how talented she is, it was, like I said, I met her in October for the first time, and here we are in February premiering a piece together. So it was immediate and it was instinctual, and I think it's beautiful what she brings to my work, because I think she helped me to lean on my more feminine, even more feminine qualities while working with Glenn and with drums and percussion, asking me to connect to a very other side that exists in me. But it was nice to give a break from certain beat and rhythm and to go with vocal and atmosphere. And I think the pieces complement each other beautifully. And I think they're very different. But what the most important thing is that, you know, the dancers look wonderful in both pieces.
Oh, your dancers are exquisite. And it is interesting that you said that about Lourdes, because I find that in our life, we meet somebody and sometimes it's instant. We just know right away there's a connection and there's a reason and a meaning. And it's so wonderful when that happens with people. It's almost like, I know you, you know, I feel like I know you. So that's great. And about your dancers, they're all so wonderful. I bet that you probably do not have a favorite because they're all so unique. So can you speak about that?
I'm a person that change my mind and my palate like 4, 5, 6 times an hour. So I have to have, I'm so excited by having this range of characters around me. I need those different sense of humor, different color, different rhythm, different weaknesses, honestly, also of people. So I'm constantly on a mission to make something better or to expose something in them. So by having those, you're going to see 10 people on the stage this weekend. We have 12 people usually in the house working and researching, and some of them are company members, some of them are apprentices, and this time I decided to go with 10 people on the stage, and you're going to see each one completely different than the other, but we all agree on something that we believe in when we're coming on stage together. And I think that makes it so fascinating and personal and ongoing, and I love that. I love the group that I'm working with right now. I'm very happy about it.
That's wonderful. That's really great. And just a little bit for people that don't know about Gaga, how it's done. I mean, I was reading some things about it that, you know, it's not just for dancers, it's for anybody. And it's very healing, and it helps. Actually, there's an array of participants in Tel Aviv, including, I was reading, breast cancer survivor, people living with Alzheimer's. So how is this being recognized worldwide in the healing arts, like Watsu, for example, or yoga? Or,
you know, Gaga is very, very healing, but it's also healing us because it's advancing our level of coordination to a point that is quite extreme, because the multitasking and the ability to listen to your body, hearing what the body tells you to do, plus telling the body what you need it to do, this combination, this dialogue with your own body is very, very demanding when it comes to your coordination, your imagination. And you know what? It makes you connect to your passion and tells you, do I have passion to be alive? Do I have passion to move, to explore, to invent? And in that way, this is super physical and healing the body and the mind. So I think that what I love about Gaga versus the other options is that it's so complex. It's so complex, and every day it gives you a different side and angle on it and in it, because it's all based on improvisation. Both the users and the teachers improvise together in the moment and decide what is right for that moment. And I think that that makes it extremely alive and, again, personal. Just like I believe in the work being personal, I believe in the training being personal and fresh. So I think this is why a lot of people get addicted to Gaga, actually. Even in LA, there is a beautiful amount of there's this hundreds of people, you know, a month taking Gaga here in Silver Lake, in Pasadena now, in USC. And like, we're moving it around so much that the awareness is already coming to it, and the joy that it brings is used definitely by a lot of people now in LA.
That's wonderful, and hopefully it's going to get more and more recognition and exposure. So I have a few more questions for you. I read that you started dancing at the age of 3.5, and I can't help but wonder, what were you like as a little girl?
You know, I grew up in LA because my parents had this dream of living in America, and they moved me to the Valley when I was 10 months old. And then started those 3 years of my parents trying to live in LA, trying to live in New York. And I was this passenger moving along, sitting in the car. My mom says I was very quiet and constantly awake. But every once in a while, I used to go under a plant in the house and tear it apart and pull it upside down. And so I had my reservations, but I had my quiet way to protest, I believe. So when I was 3.5, we moved back to Israel. And the first thing I asked is to dance. And I don't remember it. But it was something that came out after being a bit of a gypsy-ish or a guest here in America for those few years. And now it's funny because I live here and I brought my dog with me from Israel, and he's sitting in the car going everywhere with me, or on a plane or on a train. And we're kind of doing, I'm doing with my dog what my parents have done with me, but it's kind of a closure. And yeah, I don't know how I was as a child, but I know that I was taking a lot of information in and keeping quiet for a while.
Well, that's interesting you brought up your dog, because that was my next question. You're very connected with your dog. And is his name George? Was that his name? Yes, George. Okay, so I also had a dog as a teenager, a Belgian Shepherd named George that I loved. So I thought that was really charming when I saw the video of you and your dog. And then I was wondering, do you ever dance with him?
He's immediately jumping on anyone that wants to dance. So he's very responsive to any emotional change, any physical change. Yeah, we dance. We go crazy in the house, in the studio. He loves being wild. He's already 9 years old, but he's very wild when he wants to, and very delicate when he wants to. Yeah, I pay attention to his needs and try to really give him everything I can. Maybe it's even exaggerating.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Okay. So I also wanted to ask you, in the tradition of the Gaga vulnerability, what I'd like to ask you is, what is the one thing about yourself that you feel is misunderstood?
Wow, I wish it was only one.
Yeah.
You know, I'm working with my therapist right now. I have this new thing. I'm going to therapy, and I never done it before. I never had the time or the space in my head for it. And now we're discovering that I have this expectation from people to understand me without words. So for your question, it means that there are a lot of moments that I might be misunderstood because I have this strong, more telepathic, more intuitive, more sensation-based communication that I experience with people, with animals, with the world. And I have this weird dream that people will be like that. People will be this way. And it doesn't work like that because communication is really crucial between people, between strangers, and definitely between people that come from different cultures. So I feel that as I come here as a strong, independent woman from Israel, and I speak my mind, loud or not, sometimes it's harsh, sometimes it's surprising, because I'm not polite, I'm just really caring, and I work hard for what I care for. So that's a little different than a lot of what's going on here, and sometimes it could be overwhelming for both sides, but I'm learning how to take that passion and good, you know, it's good passion, and to make sure that my communication is helping whatever I want to achieve.
I'm sure it will. Sounds like you're a little bit ahead of your time with the telepathic. So are we going to be seeing any solo performances coming up in the near future?
For myself, you're asking?
Yes.
Or?
For you, yes.
Yeah, you know, I'm working on this thing now. I am doing a duet with John Hamm, the actor.
Nice.
And in a way, it's a solo performance for both of us, because he's acting and I'm dancing, and we're not taking each other's discipline, and we're keeping our discipline, and we are presenting those very different characters, and that's coming up in April. And I am working with my solo performance called Framed as well, and touring the world with it. And staying a dancer is apparently one of the most important things in my journey at the moment. I have to stay dancing, and performing is the one thing that really promised that. So while I'm not dancing this weekend on the stage, I keep dancing in other occasions, and I create those other options for myself so I can balance my different needs.
Good.
As I have 8 months.
Good. Yofi. So I want to just end by saying thank you, Danielle Agami. Thank you for listening to this interview on February 13, 2019 with Danielle Agami, who Los Angeles Times has hailed as choreography's It Girl. Be sure to catch 8-9 this Friday and Saturday evenings at the Wallace Annenberg in Beverly Hills. So thank you so much. And on the 15th, I understand there's going to be a post-performance talk back with the artist. So maybe we'll hear more from Danielle. Thank you, Danielle. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.